Good morning. Mother's Day. It's a wonderful way to think about our mothers. Mother's Day. I really love the concept. I did a little research on Mother's Day and how mothers feel about the concept of Mother's Day, and particularly how they feel about Mother's Day sermons. And I was very surprised by what I found. And here was the summary of how the majority of mothers felt about Mother's Day sermons. Mother's Day sermons are notoriously awful. Sentimental trope that leaves some women feeling smugly satisfied while others leave licking their wounds. And I was like, now wait a minute. I have preached a lot of Mother's Day sermons. Was I preaching sentimental trope that leaves some women leaving smugly satisfied and others leaving licking their wounds? And so I did what I should have done upon coming upon that statistic. I prayed and I said, God, I don't want to be part of that trend. I want to lift up mothers in the right way, to lift up women in the right way, and to honor them for who God made them to be. So this morning I'd like us to reimagine how all of us can honor mothers without hurting others. First of all, I'd like to say something to actually all of us, but emphasis right now on the ladies among us, women. Number one, I need you to know that you're not perfect. You can, ladies, you can multitask. You can multitasks. You have amazing abilities that I do not have, that the men that I know do not have. Abilities far above and beyond our one-track focus on one thing at a time. So you have multiple gifts and abilities that are lacking in men, and that's why God brings men and women together in a family unit, because we're different, we complement each other. And I want you to know that while you're not perfect, but you have in you the seed of God. You're not perfect, but you're more than flesh and bone. We are made different, all of us. We're not perfect, but we're more than flesh and bone. Because God plants in us, the followers of Jesus, and actually in all humanity, there is that seed that needs to germinate. And we become the children of God. Not just his offspring, but his children. And that's a wonderful thing. That in us, ladies, in you is the seed of God. And the seed of God in you, what can you not accomplish? And as the seed of God is in us, when he puts an idea into our hearts, into our minds, he also gives us the ability through his power to accomplish that which he calls us to. So ladies, while many of you have been called into motherhood, others of you have into that for various reasons. But in all of you is the seed of God. And my job as a pastor this morning is to tell you that, to encourage you, to bless you. And those of us who are men, poor us, we can think of one, maybe two things at a time. But one of the things that we think about is how to bless the ladies in our lives. Fellow believers, our wives, our children. It's about compassion and empathy and affirming all of women's God-given gifts. It's about encouraging and challenging women to grow up in their faith and gifting, to take great risks. Ladies, with the seed of God in you, what can you not accomplish? Someone please tell me, what can you not accomplish with the seed of God in you? Not perfect, but more than flesh and blood, flesh and bone. For us men, it's also about humbly acknowledging our own weaknesses, recognizing that we are not perfect, as we are beckoned to fearlessly enter into the joys and sorrows and the afflictions, the pain, the joys of the ladies in our lives. What an opportunity it is to all of us as men to be beckoned by God Himself to come alongside the ladies in our lives, the mothers, the daughters, the fellow believers, and lift them up and show them that they too are the children of God. They too have God's gifts pressed into them. And that they too can grow in their faith and gifting. And it's our job to encourage them in their gifting, in their faith, encourage them to build on the faith that starts in all of us. It starts as a little seed, and it grows, and it grows. Romans 12:15. Just a basic, very basic verse from Scripture. Sort of like a job description. Men, pay attention. Ladies, you can encourage each other as well. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We are called to be a support for each other. Get to know each other well enough so that we know what someone is rejoicing about. And when there's sorrow, when there's pain, to know what that is, so that we can enter into it and be used by God to bless and encourage and build them up. So it's about the body of Christ blessing and encouraging, healing its own members. And the body of Christ is our truest family. Yes, we have earthly families, but our truest family is the body of Christ, because that's the family we will be with in eternity, our truest family. Men, it's also about keeping our love for each other at full strength. For fellow believers, our love for fellow believers needs to be at full strength. If it's only partial, that's not a good thing. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:8-10. Again, just simple, basic instruction. And if, men, if the ladies in our lives are hurting, pay attention to these instructions. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, based on the gift each one has received. Use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Maintain, hold on to, struggle to hold on to that intense love that we have for each other in the body of Christ. And it's often a struggle to hold on to loving people because, remember, people are not perfect, but they're more than flesh and bone. So we need to struggle and fight for that intense love, even the imperfect, which is all of us. It's about keeping the love for each other at full strength. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Again, basic instruction so that the people around us in the body of Christ are not hurting, that they're reaching their potential. And love is the key. Love is patient. Love is kind. And as I read these, I want you to take each one. Love is patient. Just look into your own heart. Am I patient? Love is kind. Look in your own heart. Am I kind? Then let God give you instruction how to fix it if you're not. So I'm going to read it slowly. And I want you to meditate how you can bless the ladies in your lives, fellow believers. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. Love is not conceited. It does not act properly. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs. It finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Well, I guess that's enough for you to think on, because the screen went blank. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I remember my mother's prayers. They have clung to me all my life. All I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Do you ever think about that? That, guys, when ladies pray for us, it clings to us. Men, when your wives pray for you, it has a way of clinging. And all I am and hope to be, I owe to my mother. Okay, our ministry to each other, to the ladies in our lives also, it's about rising above. Oh, I hate to use this word. It's about rising above politics. There's something, it's almost a political thing these days, rising above identity politics. That means where we tend to define ourselves, we define ourselves according to our traumas in our lives. Oh, I am disowned. Oh, I am abused. Oh, I'm motherless. I'm fatherless. I'm childless. I'm wounded. I'm addicted. I'm hurt. Do we ever do that? Sort of identify ourselves? And it's really the politics of, it's identity politics, that's how we identify ourselves. And I'd like to propose this morning that while we acknowledge all those things and we sit at the feet of Jesus for healing, we tell Jesus about all those things, the traumas, the disowned, the abused, being motherless, being addicted, whatever it may be, we bring those things, we acknowledge them, sit at the feet of Jesus for healing. We do that. But then we recognize that in a nutshell, it's also sitting at the feet of Jesus. We find the beyond the trauma, beyond what it is that hurts us, beyond whatever it is that life has handed to us. Sitting at the feet of Jesus also is the place where we rise up above those traumas. And man, I'll be very, very honest this morning that the ladies in this world are more often victims than we are for various reasons. And we need to sit at the feet of Jesus with the ladies in our lives and together find the step beyond the trauma that they faced, the pain in their lives, the things that have happened to them, the things that they lack that never occurred, never happened for them. It's at the feet of Jesus where you find it. Men, are you capable? Are you practiced at sitting at the feet of Jesus? Because if you can learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, then you can invite the ladies in your lives as well to sit at the feet of Jesus. And by the way, they're probably doing it on their own, but there's a special power in a husband and a wife in particular, sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving instruction, receiving vision, receiving direction for the next step. Because it's at the feet of Jesus that we feel His compassion the deepest. And we know God's compassionate. We know that we've been taught that for years. He's a compassionate God. He's a loving God. But it's when we take the time, sitting at the feet of Jesus means that we're taking dedicated time and we're talking to Jesus and we're telling Him what hurts. And then we're asking Him, where do I go from here? It's sitting there intentionally connecting with Jesus. Because it's there that you'll feel His compassion the deepest. It's there that you will feel the birth of hope. It's there that the baby steps in a new life occur. At the feet of Jesus. That. And it's also at the feet of Jesus that all of us learn how to effectively enter into the lives of other people. Because it doesn't come automatic to us. It's not automatic that we know how to enter into others' lives, how to bless them, how to encourage them. It's not automatic. It's a spiritual ability that comes from Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us. Remember the story of when Jesus was sitting on the mountainside teaching, and everyone grew hungry, and there were no restaurants nearby. He was on the mountainsides. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have?" And the number that they reported back was very low. It wasn't much. But Jesus took those loaves and he multiplied them and he fed 5,000 on one occasion. On another occasion, it was 4,000 plus women and children. How many loaves do you have? Now, we had some basic instruction this morning from the Word on love. We had some basic instruction from the Word on the character of God. But how many loaves do you have to offer to God? One characteristic of God that we often forget about is that He's very good at math, especially multiplication. He's very good at multiplication. Whatever loaf we have to give Him, He will take it and He will use it to meet the needs of your fellow believers. He will use your loaves, even though you may think, not even one crumb of my loaf is evangelistic. He will use, there's a crumb. If you have Jesus in you, there's a crumb of evangelism in you. He will take that crumb and He will multiply it to meet the needs of those who aren't believers, who are looking for something. They're looking for something. And in many cases, because of biblical illiteracy in our nation, they don't even know what they're looking for. But He will take that crumb of evangelism and He will use you to draw people into the kingdom, step by step by step. Not overnight usually, but step by step by step. How many loaves do you have? Think about your gifts and abilities. Some of us might have 4 loaves. Some of us might have 8 loaves. Some of us might have 1 loaf. Some of us might have half a loaf. At least that's how we think of it in our head. But that number of abilities, I'm referring to the loaves as abilities that meet the needs of fellow believers. And beyond that, meet the needs of our world. It's not how many loaves you have, but how much faith you have that God can take your loaf, whatever it may consist of, He will take your loaf and He will multiply its power. He will multiply it to meet the needs of others. Men, how many of us have an encouraging loaf? Think about your ability to encourage people. "Well, I'm fighting my own battles. I ain't got no extra to encourage somebody else. I'm trying to encourage myself. I'm trying to keep one foot going in front of the other. I'm trying to deal with my pain. I'm trying to deal with my own addiction and my pain. I'm a proud person. I can't talk too much about my pain. I just have to focus and do one thing at a time like we men do." But guess what? God wants to take that loaf of encouragement. Those crumbs of encouragement, if need be. He'll take those crumbs of encouragement and give you the ability to encourage the ladies in your life. God has the ability of getting the proudest man, the most stubborn man, the most controlling man. He has the ability to take those people and just humble them. He can do that. You take the loaf of encouragement, give it to him, and he'll use it. And he'll work on you in the process. And one reason that we have so few loaves, we don't have as many loaves as we should. In American culture, in this culture, we don't have enough loaves. We don't have as many as we should. Because we're, just being honest, looking at our culture, we're very self-involved. We're very self-centered. And so much of our energy is focused on inside me, 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 the things I want, the things I do, 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 do. There's so much of that. And all of us as men in this culture face temptations to materialism, stuff. We face temptations to use up way too much time in that. We face temptations with lust and the lust of the flesh. We suffer pride. We're very proud, independent people. Not nearly as dependent on God as we should be. I would like to propose something that I think will make us much better encouragers, will make us much better builders of other people. We're able to build other people up. Think about your most powerful temptation. Your most powerful addiction. The thing that you wake up every morning wishing it was gone. Think about that thing, and then just in your mind, identify it. And the next time you're facing that temptation, try inviting Jesus into the temptation. In the sense that, tell him step by step how you're feeling. As you're drawn into lust, as you're drawn into materialism, if you're drawn into your own pride, prideful flesh, and you can't possibly be wrong about anything, if you're struggling with those kinds of things, tell Jesus exactly how you feel as you're being drawn into that temptation. In a sense, it's inviting him to share that temptation with you because he was tempted in every manner such as we are. I'm recommending this because I did it. I did that. With one of my strongest temptations and weakness, I invited Jesus into it. I said, Jesus, this is what I do. Jesus, this is how I do it. Jesus, these are the steps that I go through coming into that temptation. Step by step. Jesus, you see this? Try it. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what will happen. Because Jesus, who was tempted in every way such as we are, Jesus will step by step by step show you what to do differently. And I'm just sharing that with, I didn't plan to share that this morning, but I'm sharing that because it works. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. And nothing like falling into failure that's put some weight on you. So let him walk you. Invite him into it. Don't hide anything. Show him each step. And he'll show you each step out. He'll tell you what to do. But he wants us to be humble enough to invite him into our raunchy world. And sin is raunchy. Failure is raunchy. He wants to be invited in to be us to be humble enough to show him each step. And then he will show us the way out. What a blessing to the ladies in our lives, men. What a blessing. If we become a humble, obedient, healed, refreshed, renewed, excited, granting all control to Jesus instead of us having to control everything. What a difference it will make in the lives of our church and our families, and how it will lift up the ladies in our lives, how it will make them new people, how it will give them new freedom to exercise their gifts and abilities and to present their loaves to Jesus. That they'll be able to say, Jesus, here's my loaves. Come on, let's do something. That's what we want the ladies in our lives to be doing. This is what we want the female side of the body of Christ to be doing. But he wants us to. And he wants us to lead the way by being humble. By inviting Jesus into our failures and our temptations and our weaknesses and our trauma. Invite him in. This was a very difficult sermon for me because, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm more than flesh and bone. And I have the seed of God in me. And so do you. Those of you who have Jesus in your lives, you have the seed of God in you. And our limit, our potential is limitless. Because we serve a God who cannot be limited. Amen. The worship team can come forward. Now, all I really said about ladies is that they can multitask. No, just kidding. I said a lot more about them. You're very special. And I love every one of you. Made in God's image. Not perfect. But you're way more than flesh and bone. May God use you mightily for his kingdom. And may he fill you with his spirit. And bless you all the days of your life. I'd like the congregation to stand. And I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Dear God, we're standing here as your children. We're your children. We're male children. We're female children. But we're all your children. And while we're not perfect, we're more than flesh and bone because of your seed in us, Jesus in us, Holy Spirit directing us and pointing us to Jesus. And Father God, watching and blessing us. I'd like to also pray for the mothers here that you give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Give them the ability to plow through the situations in their lives that they face. Just bless them with the inner presence of Jesus, which makes everything so much easier and so much more blessed. Give them the eyes of Christ. Give them the heart of the Holy Spirit. Just a gentle ability to touch people, just like the Holy Spirit does to all of us. Just bless them in their gifts and abilities. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.